Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, beginning at the first verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend it to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Thus says the Lord, Look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Psalm 139, 13 through 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O Lord! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
God of mystery and power, even our minds and hearts are the veils and signs of your presence. We come in silent wonder to learn the way of simplicity, the eternal road that leads to love for you and for your whole creation. We come as your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us, and in his name, amen.
A reading from the book of Philemon, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. Pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all good that we may do in Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment to the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even in your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will even do more than I say. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the others are still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's readings are the mean ones. They set up the battle between our human nature and God. We know who wins, but we may not like it. Jeremiah observes a potter at work molding the clay. When the clay doesn't take the shape the potter wishes, he throws it again on the wheel and works the clay into a new shape. Jeremiah hears the voice of the Lord declaring his sovereignty over all people and nations, saying that when a nation fails to obey, he will, like the potter, change his mind about the good intended for it. In the second reading, the psalmist notes, "You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me." Have you ever felt hemmed in? And God lays his hand on us. He takes charge of us. Then Paul's letter, too, refers to control. Philemon's slave Onesimus has escaped and run away. Being with Paul, Onesimus is baptized Christian. Paul sends Onesimus home, and he instructs Philemon to receive the baptized man not as the escaped slave he is, but as a brother in Christ. And then worst of all, in today's gospel, the people want to follow Jesus, and he tells them they must hate their loved ones and renounce all those possessions they prize, or they cannot follow him. Some people might consider that mean. The readings speak about lordship and submission, words we do not like to hear. We don't want to be lorded over. We don't want to submit to another. We want to be free and independent to do as we wish. This is a natural inclination, part of our human nature. We want to be good sisters and brothers of Christ, of course, to be good followers of our Lord and Savior. And we want to be free and independent at the same time. But we can't do both. We are clay. The clay doesn't dictate to the potter what it wants to be. The clay is shaped according to the potter's will. The God who made us surrounds us. His hand is on our head. Like a parent corralling an excited toddler, God hems us before and behind, leading us as he chooses on the way he has marked for us. Philemon, whose slave had run away, can punish Onesimus harshly. Philemon has legal remedies available to him for that purpose. But Paul forbids him to use them. And Jesus, in today's gospel, he uses hard terms to explain what is necessary for his followers. It seems confusing that our Lord, whose great commandments teach love, now speaks of hate. To understand what he meant, we must hear him from the time in which he lived and taught. For the ancient Jews, the word we translate as hate did not refer to what we regard as hate, that deep emotional rejection and loathing, that feeling of overwhelming ill will and hostility. At that time, the word designated a second place, the place of the less loved. In Malachi, the Lord says he loved Jacob and hated Esau. No, the Lord preferred Jacob to Esau. And in Genesis, after Jacob is tricked into marrying Leah before he can marry Rachel, his chosen, we read that Leah was hated but she wasn't hated the way we think of hate. She and Jacob had a relation. She bore him 7 children. But she wasn't loved the way Rachel was. She was less loved. The word we translate as hated is the word they used for that position. And this is the heart, then, of today's readings, as it is the heart of all Christ's teachings, love. Who do we love? Whom do we love? What do we love? How much do we love them all? The natural human inclination is to love ourselves first and most, and then those whose lives we share, families and friends. And we love our comfort. We love ease. We love our pleasure. We love our stuff. Somewhere in all that love is God. We love God too. After all, God made us, and every good thing we have comes from God. So of course we love God. Just maybe not enough. Not enough for Jesus. Not enough for God. Not in the way or to the degree that we should. When Sunday morning dawns cold and rainy, we think to ourselves, we ought to be able to sleep in sometimes. Or when the homeless guy is again outside the building where we work, but we're all going to lunch at that expensive restaurant today. Or my neighbor's dog has soiled my lawn after I've warned my neighbor over and over about this problem. So we sleep in on Sunday. We turn away when we pass the homeless guy, and we yell at our lazy neighbor till his wife starts crying. But we love God, and we mean that. We do love God, just not enough. So what is enough? Jesus tells us quite plainly, put him first. Today, every day, all the time, put him first. Love him more than we love our family. More than our friends, more than comfort, more than our money, more than our stuff, no exceptions. And if we can't put him first, we cannot be his followers. He's clear on this point, telling us of a builder who must think of the total cost of his plan before beginning to build, because if he doesn't, he may not be able to complete the structure, and people will laugh. When we Christians do not consider the cost of following Jesus, we cannot follow him well. Then we operate from our human ego nature. And people note our willfulness and they say, what a hypocrite. And Jesus makes it clear where the power lies, asking us to consider the king whose small army is no match for the would-be conqueror. That weak king is wise to make peace with the mighty king, or it will go badly for him and his people. God is that mighty king. All power is his. We are called to be his faithful servants, his loving children, by yielding our will to his, our inclinations to his wishes. The only problem is that it's hard to be humble, to lay down our will, to serve God obediently. It goes against the grain. It goes against human nature. Everything in society urges us to serve ourselves. Every generation is the me generation, refusing to bow to God or others, insisting that we're right, demanding our way or the highway. Society applauds ego. But God demands we go another way, that we forsake human nature to embrace the divine. Jesus teaches us that when we embrace humility, he himself will give us first place at his table. When we willingly accept his yoke, we will discover its sweetness. Our Our human nature rebels at such teachings. We may not want to love someone who imposes his will on us. We may not want to obey him. But we must remember that the God who is mighty to the wicked is gentle Abba to his children. The parent whose toddler refuses to be guided to safety sets the child into a playpen or takes him indoors from the garden, much against the child's will. But when the toddler learns to obey his loving parent, the child is taken to enjoy the gardens and the amusement park and the water slides and many other delights. God isn't mean. Only a few chapters later in Jeremiah, we read this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." The mighty God's dominion over us is that of a loving parent, meant to help us, to bless us, to bring untold good into our lives. Years ago, the school where I taught was having a terrible time. The school needed a new roof, so the teachers were pressed into fundraiser after fundraiser to finance it on top of our regular school duties. Everyone was exhausted and impatient and worried about program cuts to fund the repairs. On faculty day, the principal brought in a motivational speaker to help us get back on track. Before he began, he passed out papers and asked us to write down our answers to the two questions printed on the sheets. Why did you decide to become a teacher? What did you hope to accomplish? And so we did. Then he told us to put them aside, and he talked to us about who knows what. I don't remember anything he said until the very end. "I know teaching is hard," he said, "and there are many days when you want to walk away from it all. Don't do it. And here's why not. Take out your papers and read what you wrote at the beginning of this session. When things get rough, it's not time to walk away. It's time to recommit to what brought you here in the first place." Commitment. Love means commitment. And commitment means sticking to the relationship, whether it's a spouse or a friend or a church or God himself, and recommitting to it as often as we must to see it through. When people fail to commit fully, walking away is easy. And we can see that proven in countless single-parent households in which the other parent was unwilling to commit to the partner and the family. It's the same with God. When we aren't fully committed to God, it's easy to sleep in on Sunday morning and turn away from those in need. It's easy to respond to others with callousness or insult. It's easy to distort the truth to promote a fake news in which we are always right. But that isn't good enough for God. It isn't good enough for a Heavenly Father who sent his own Son to die so that we might live. Just as partners in a relationship must commit fully to each other for the life of their love, so must we commit fully to Christ, who placed our eternal good, our eternal life, above his own human good, above his own human life. To gain that eternal life, we must give our human lives to him. Our human nature resists doing so, but only because our human nature cannot understand the bargain God offers us. We give our will, our loves, our lives to God. When we do, we receive back a better life than we could ever imagine. A life of peace and fulfillment and purpose and love and satisfaction and every good thing. A life filled with the sweetness of union with Abba, the mighty God King, who loves us with a tenderness beyond anything we can comprehend. Nothing can compare to such love. Nothing can compare to a life lived with Christ beside us. It's God's version of let's make a deal, where every ticket is the big winner and every curtain hides the jackpot. And the only way to lose is not to go all in. We give ourselves totally to Christ, fully and completely. And in exchange, Christ gives himself to us fully and completely. I promise you, it's the best deal you'll ever make in all your life. Amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work.
For all families, friends, and neighbors, and for all those who are alone.
For this community, our country, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in sickness, especially Pat, Dave, Pat, Phyllis, Bernadette, Jeanette, Chris, Tricia, Charlene, Philip, Shane, Doug, Sherry, Jake, Celine, Blaine, Nancy, Victor, June, Donna, Bill, Dave, Aaron, Carol, Wayne, Jane, and Phil. And for those who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
Deborah, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For our own needs and those of others. Hear us, O Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all those who have died in the peace of Christ, and for those whose faith is known to you alone, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, one with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come eternal life for you, Father, our good and loving. And we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread, and wine as being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go first in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.